Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota journalists head to Washington in the ongoing quest for SNAP benefit data the USDA deems confidential. It's a fight that has taken Argus Leader editors to the U.S. Supreme Court. Plus, Congressman Dusty Johnson heads to the border to put his penchant for policy to work. Today, we welcome the Dakota political junkies to In the Moment for insight on the top stories of the week. And joining us from the Tom and Danielle Amon Foundation Studio in Aberdeen, we have Northern State University political science professor, Dr. John Schaff. John, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me again.
And joining us from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital Studio inside SDPB's Rapid City space, we welcome former state lawmaker and South Dakota newspaper Hall of Fame inductee Noel Hamill. Hi, Noel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Let's start with Dusty Johnson, Congressman Johnson, down in the Arizona area, taking a tour and trying to figure out what exactly firsthand he can learn about what's happening at the U.S. southern border with Mexico. Noel, let's start with you a little bit. The importance of a trip like that for a freshman lawmaker like Congressman Johnson.
Well, you know, it was a... you remember when he came out with his... statement responding to his vote against President Trump on the emergency declaration to close the border. And Dusty, and I know Dusty pretty well, I've known him for a long, long time. You know, he's smart, he's honorable, but when he said in his statement that he voted against it because he wanted to retain the separation of powers, I believe him. I take Dusty at his word. He's that kind of guy. But he got in some hot water over it because a lot of people, and not just Trump supporters, but there were those who know that presidents, I think, before Trump and including Trump, have declared something like 57 emergencies. 31 of them are still in force. So you might make the argument that, yeah, separation of powers is important, but actually Congress didn't have any problem relinquishing at least a portion of that going back a couple of decades. But I think his trip, was great. What I got from his the stories about it is that he says, yeah, we have a crisis. The system is overwhelmed. A lot of the people coming across that border are getting paid for it. It's not like their own initiative. His press release said that, you know, 100,000 people were apprehended at that southern border, and he visited these detention areas, and I think he said they're four times more crowded than they should be, and if you care about humanitarian aspect, why, you know, it's... something has to be done. So contrary to the narrative that we don't have a crisis or there's not really a problem, Dusty Johnson at least saw it differently.
John Schaff, let's bring you into the conversation. So Congressman Johnson is, it does seem like he is, you know, saying I can think for myself here. I need to gather information and make decisions, you know, accordingly, whether it was the original vote against the emergency declaration or his, you know, subsequent, you know, promotion of building barriers and wall structures. Tell us a little bit, though, about, you know, clearly he's reaching out to people and saying whether you are just concerned about the drug crisis in the United States, which is real, or whether you're concerned about the humanitarian crisis of all these people being incarcerated or detained. Everybody should get on board with the solution. Do you see, John Schaff, what that solution is, though, for someone like Dusty Johnson, who, you know, really ran on a platform of policy? I'm a policy wonk. I just love to dig into policy. Does he come out of the gate with some policy options?
Well, I guess time will have to tell, because obviously what he's done is he's done his fact-finding mission down at the border, and now we'll see what he does with it. And as Noel has indicated, and as I enjoyed Representative Johnson's tweets from the border as he filmed himself, his little short videos.
Why did you enjoy that? We have to. I have to interrupt and ask you to expand.
Well, I find it amusing. I shouldn't say entertaining because it's not just for entertainment purposes, but a member of Congress, I guess it says something about modern technology, can be standing. At one point, he was at the Sioux Falls airport. Then we got another, you know, a couple from the border. And it's just a different way of communicating with people that he can stand there with a phone in his hand down in Arizona and show us what he's seen and talk about his impressions.
Does he look comfortable doing that?
Oh, absolutely.
And the reason I'm asking is because I remember in a conversation he had on this program, he made a sort of jab at the people in Congress, without naming names, who come to work with their television makeup on. And, so he was kind of, at that point trying to say, where do people fit in with this world of social media and instant information? So I'm curious what you thought about him using that medium himself.
Yeah, what he was doing was doing something in a way low tech, at least by today's standards. I mean, because he really is a guy with a phone taking a video of himself, and just a very interesting way for a member of Congress to communicate with his constituents and kind of do. It's probably part of the nature of the game these days is that you don't have to go through traditional media. You can have a sort of unmediated discussion with your constituents because you can so easily do it yourself. You don't need a production team. You just need a pretty good smartphone, and he could shoot high quality video of himself. And as Noel sort of indicated, I think what he learned is not just something about he was at the wall, what they're building walls out of, how it's going to work, but also the sense that it's that not just the Border Patrol, but all the all the bureaucratic mechanisms that deal with border crossings are overwhelmed. And so part of what is our concern about humanitarian crisis or how we're dealing with children, he brought up in one of his videos, and there was some discussion with some South Dakota media about are people that from videos that he showed or pictures that he took who are with children, are those children, do those children really belong to the people who are holding them? Or is this a kind of shield that, say, a human trafficker, a drug runner might use to try to hide the fact that, they're doing something really nefarious as opposed to simply taking their family across the border? Maybe their family is a fake family. And so how do you determine which it is? Well, you need resources. You need people to, in a timely fashion, work through all the questions, and if people need to be sent back, they need to be sent back. If families need to be taken care of, they need to be taken care of. But we need resources there, both money and people, which that means money, to process all these border crossers to figure out who's got a legitimate grievance, who's a really bad actor, and figure out which is which.
Hmm. Noel, do you think it's primarily a resource problem or a resource solution?
Lori,
that's a big unfair question.
No. Lori, I want to, if I can just, do I have your permission to ask John a question?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Because it's really in the bailiwick of a political scientist, not a former newspaper man. And here's the question: I think both sides and the middle on this issue. I've heard it said countless times that what we really need is, quote, immigration reform. We need to open up the Immigration Act that details border security. It details who qualifies for citizenship. It details all these different facets of how you get into our country. So my question to John is, everybody talks about immigration reform, but I have seen very little, if any, constructive work which would entail both sides sitting down and saying, okay, let's look at this legislation. Here's how we need to fix it. I mean, is there any reason to think that that's anywhere in the near future?
Well, I think what you have to do is find, I think what you can do, and the gist of what I was talking about, it might be something that you could actually find bipartisan support, which is hard to come by these days. Yeah. And part of the problem, when you're asking the question, made me think of the comment by the author Jonah Goldberg, where he always says, you know, I don't know which immigration policy I'm for, but I just wish we would have one, because we seem to have laws on the books and then we don't enforce them. And so whatever, you know, more immigration, less immigration, harder on illegals, softer on illegals, whatever it is, could we just pick a policy and stick with it? And that's part of the problem, is that we've got immigration law and we don't really enforce it, or at least we do so intermittently. But part of what I think Representative Johnson was getting at in some of his comments coming from his trip to the border was people on the right are in favor of more resources at the border and stronger border enforcement. People on the left are interested in the border. At least one of their interests is the border as a humanitarian issue. Well, those two things can come together if we had not just more border patrol agents. Maybe we need more border patrol agents, but we need more administrative judges. We need more, social workers. We need more people down there doing more things. And part of that might be the law enforcement angle of it, but we also need better processing, because even on the illegal side, those who are more concerned about illegal immigration, part of what happens is precisely because the system cannot process people fast enough, they end up getting lost in the system, and it's very easy for someone to enter the country illegally. Well, I should say relatively easily, to enter the country illegally, while they're waiting for their situation to be processed, you can just simply wander off, and the system can't keep track of people. So you look at the backlogs of the administrative judges trying to work through people who claim refugee status is so long, and it's so untimely. And that itself, anyone who knows the U.S. Constitution knows that untimely justice is an injustice. And we can't right now bring timely justice to the border.
And seeking asylum is not against the law. So
these are not people who are
some of these people, you know, at least are not breaking any law by seeking asylum.
But what we have to do is you have to adjudicate, as somebody says, I'm seeking asylum, I want refugee status. That's what I'm claiming. Well, obviously we don't just take that at face value. There has to be some investigation into that, because the normal way would be to go to a port of entry. You don't cross the border illegally, right? Because illegal border crossing is illegal, right? So that's a crime. But then if someone is claiming refugee status, we have to adjudicate whether that's a reasonable claim or an unreasonable claim. Where does it fall in the law? And we need a judge to do that. And if that judge has 2,000 cases in front of him, the people are going to be sitting there for months upon months simply waiting for their status to be adjudicated.
So,
and that creates a problem.
And here I want to bring this and flip this back to you, Noel, because this is a question for a newspaper man. When, you know, we mentioned, you know, Congressman Johnson, you know, using, you know, he's a congressman with a smartphone, and now he can have this unmediated discussion versus, and that's a lot of how the information is being dispersed in this country right now is through social media and without journalists who are aggressively asking questions and sorting through that information. And you see so much of this conversation overlapping and turning back on itself. Are we talking about drugs? Are we talking about asylum seekers? Are we talking about migrant workers? Are we talking about drug cartels who steal children? And there's a lot happening. What is the role of sort of how policymakers are communicating with the public versus vigorous, effective journalists telling the story and asking those tough questions?
There was a question there somewhere, I think.
Are you seeing the impact in how complex this conversation is? Does it intersect with a decline in journalism?
Oh, brother. You know, if you're asking about the state of journalism, that's a whole program.
Well, you asked John a big question.
Well, that's right. And by the way, if everybody, and I totally agree with John on that, what I don't understand is why there's been so much resistance to taking an orderly approach or response to the crush at the borders. And one of those reasons is, you know, we have a fair percentage of people who simply favor open borders. I mean, you could talk to a number of the 1 of 20 Democrat candidates running for president. But that isn't your question. But I think it's the polarization relating to immigration is really a huge roadblock to the kind of progress that we need to be made with respect to the type of reporting or the impact of social media, the impact of a congressman on the border with his smartphone. There is absolutely no question that more and more Americans are bypassing and have bypassed traditional media sources to get their information. And it's not only complicating, but it's dangerous. You know, journalism, we don't have a certification. We don't have a license process to be a card-carrying journalist, unlike nurses or doctors or lawyers or other professions. But we do have ethical standards, which vary somewhat. But with the new media, with the new technology, and I see this with my children and my grandchildren and my friends, they are getting their information not from networks or cables, or heaven forbid, they're not even getting it from public radio. They're getting it from blogs. They're getting it from Facebook. They're getting it from, and I'm not saying that they're automatically suspect or automatically disseminating wrong information, because sometimes you can get good information. But the point is, there's no standard. There's no standard of reliability, and many of the many blogs that are out there are there for a small p political purpose. It's to advocate and spread a point of view. It may contain some facts, but it's not down the middle, as we used to say in journalism. So I don't have the answer for that. But here's one answer. Every citizen, every news consumer, I believe, has a personal responsibility to make sure that he or she is getting factual information and not just take information from a social media source as fact. And I think that's one of the keys. As citizens, it's about personal responsibility.
Noel Hamel and John Schaff, today's Dakota Political Junkies, that conversation about the Argus leader at the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll have that tomorrow. Jonathan Ellis and Dave Bordwick with the Newspaper Association of South Dakota will be with us for that. John, at Noel, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate your time.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks for having us.